This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. All right. This is super cool. It's 10 o'clock, top of the hour here, and got a very, very special guest on today, so appreciate you guys obviously joining us, and hopefully you know this man that that we've got front and center there on your screen, either in full mode there in live fashion or in picture mode there from the website. And by the way, if you haven't seen lewishowes.com, that's a really great site. Definitely recommend if you're doing anything online, especially in the personal branding space, to make sure that you check out lewishowes.com. So this is kind of a hybrid thing here, because this is we're doing this as a really sort of interesting special episode of Reinvention Radio. But we're doing it as a live webinar, and typically,
yes,
as you guys know, I do my radio show live. But with Lewis's crazy schedule and with his awesome book coming out, the School of Greatness, yeah, baby.
Yes.
You know, he's a busy man. So for us to be able to get Lewis on today is just a privilege, man. So
yeah, and I appreciate you doing both at the same time, because I got like about 400 interviews I'm doing over the next couple months. So
yeah,
it means a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And so let's do this, man. Let's jump straight into it. I assume that most people do know who you are, but give us the 28 seconds of the Lewis House.
Yeah, you know, I used to be my big dream in life was to be a pro athlete, and I achieved that dream, but it was short-lived. I got injured playing arena football. I broke my wrist, and I was in a cast for about 6 months from my shoulder to my fingertips. And for about a year and a half, I was in this kind of, I wouldn't say depression, but down state, where I was not sure what I wanted to do with my life, what was happening next. I was really bummed out and sad that I couldn't live my dream anymore. So I had to figure out, what is a new dream that I want? What's the rest of my life going to look like? I'm 23 at the time. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? And I was sleeping on my sister's couch for a year and a half, trying to figure it out. And I essentially said, okay, I'm going to make my life a sport. All I know is sports. So I'm going to use what I learned in athletics, the hard work, the teamwork, you know, finding great coaches and mentors, developing new skills as an individual, and apply that into figuring out how to make money, figuring out how to be an entrepreneur. It took a while, man. I'm not going to lie. It took a couple years where I started making any money, and that was hustling early on. I did 20 events around the country using LinkedIn to promote these live events, and that was just hustling, schlepping around books around the country and teaching people about LinkedIn and all these different things. And from there, I ended up creating a big online education business where I sold a number of online courses, and I sold that company to my business partner a few years back. And then I was in another transition where I was like, what is it I really want to do now? You know, I finally made the money. I got out of the slump. And what's the rest of my life look like now after I sold this company? And was it what I really want to do? And I realized that I want to be constantly connecting with the most inspiring people in the world, learning what it means to be great, and then sharing that information with others. I didn't want to hold it to myself. I want to share it with others. And that's when the podcast came about almost 3 years ago in January. And now the book, and it continues to grow.
So let me ask you this, man, because there's a lot of people that would love to connect with the influencers, a lot of people that would love to, and much better view, by the way. Thanks for showing us the bookcase. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
The jersey. What is the jersey, man? And now that you brought the jersey into the picture, we have to at least ask about it. What is it?
The jersey is I was the first American ever to play in the top professional handball league in Spain.
Nice.
And Spain is the world champions last year, so I went to go play over there because I thought maybe I'd go play a season professionally over there. But my business was just doing too much here in the States that I went for like 2 weeks. They offered me a contract. I turned it down, and then the Spanish Federation gave me this gift as a thank you for coming over and playing. I got to play in a game. I scored a goal, and just a cool experience.
Yeah, nice, man. And and so at this point, you've now been banned from re-entering the country, but, you know, it was a great while it lasted, right?
It was amazing. It was actually crazy. I have, like, all these newspaper clippings back here, actually, because when I was there, all the Spanish businessmen found out that I was coming. And so I was literally in the newspaper every single day that this American entrepreneur guru is coming to save Spain. It was hilarious. I got on the CNN of Spain. I was on the radio shows. They were interviewing every day. They'd come to practice with camera crews and they'd interview me about business stuff afterwards because Spain had 50% unemployment rate at the time and the economy was horrible. And so they were just picking my brain about it. I did a talk at a big company there and had a translator talking for me. It was kind of an experience.
Nice, man. And so just kind of going back then to you want to connect with influencers. You had a yes. business thing going. Now, there's a lot of successful business owners who want to transition into other arenas. I mean, that's what happens. You sell a business. You say, hey, let me try to do something else now. A lot of folks want to do what you are doing in terms of connecting with the influencers, in terms of, trying to make a name for yourself with this podcast. And, and let's be real here, man, podcasting has been around for a long time. I mean, it's starting to get more recognition, which is great. And once we get to the push button influence in terms of being able to get into the car, that's when everything is really going to turn the corner. Because as media is moving hard from that push mentality where there's a certain number of people who control the media, what's produced, when it's produced, how it's distributed, to this whole pull, modality here of I want what I want when I want it, and exactly. So I'm going to go get it. So, but podcasting really did put you on the map for all intents and purposes in terms of taking your business to the next level. So take us back through some of those early conversations, man, where people were like, who's Lewis Howes? Yeah, I know you do a business thing, but, I'm an A-lister. Yeah. Why would I come on? First of all, what's a podcast, right? That's probably what they're thinking to some extent. And then why would I come on with this guy? How did you overcome some of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I had developed a lot of relationships in the sports world with athletes and also entrepreneurial world when I was running my business. I was constantly going to events, speaking at conferences. Early on, I was known as the LinkedIn guy. So I was just getting my foot in the door to speak, but then I would meet the other keynote speakers and develop relationships with them after the events, at 2 a.m. at the, the bars or clubs or whatever where people would go out. And then I would just say, hey, I'm going to promote your books, things like that, years prior to I started a podcast. So I was developing relationships and adding value to people before I actually wanted to have them on for anything. Mm-hmm. And before it made sense, I would just promote them anyways. And I think that helped build the relationship and the credibility with them and the trust with influencers. So when I had a podcast, even though it was small and it was just starting out, I had, 10 friends who were influencers, who were New York Times bestselling authors, influencers, Robert Greene, 48 Laws of Power, who's my first interview. But what I did exactly what you're doing right now. I said, hey, let's do a webinar and sell your book because I've got an email list of about 150,000. We'll sell your new book called Mastery. We'll probably push 500 to 1,000 copies because we did that for Gary Vaynerchuk previously. And he was like, cool, let's do it. And I'd already a relationship with him and already helped him before. So we did that, and I just took the audio and made that my first episode and edited it up. Yeah. So it wasn't like he was on my podcast, but he said he would, since we did the webinar. And the more people you get on there, you can build that credibility. Once you get the numbers, you can show these influencers, Tom Brady, I'm supposed to be doing an interview with Tom Brady soon, actually, and nice. He never does interviews for ESPN. Wow. And his head marketing guy is a huge fan of the podcast, so we're scheduling one for me to go out to Boston to his house to record, in the next month or two once this whole deflate gate passes by. So,
yeah, which it won't, but that's amazing, yeah, exactly. Obviously, if he doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, probably he's not going to want to address that during the
discussion. That's completely off limits. I'm not allowed to ask about that. So.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, so, but, I don't want to gloss over what was a pretty huge part of that sentence in that description there, which is my list of 150,000 people, right? Once you get to that point, you can pretty much get on the radar of just about anyone.
Yeah.
Take us back through how you built that list. I know you were doing a lot of things with LinkedIn and doing a lot of things with training, but that's a huge number, man. How did you go from zero to 150,000?
It came down to two things. It came down to LinkedIn originally, where I built my list from LinkedIn groups, which was really powerful back in the day.
Can you talk about that for a second?
Yeah,
I think that still works.
I think it definitely still works. You know, it's funny because I have these huge groups on LinkedIn still, and I haven't leveraged them in like a year. I haven't promoted to them at all just because I'd moved on to other, you know, putting my energy in other places. And so every time I think about it, I'm always like, I got to go back to those groups. But early on in LinkedIn, you know, you could create groups just like Facebook groups, but they were constantly promoting them for you to other people. If there were specific keywords and other and people's profiles, they would promote those groups to those profiles. And it would be on the newsfeed. Every time you join a group, it was like in your stream, like your friend joined a group, your friend joined this group, join it now. And so it was growing exponentially. I mean, I've got a couple groups with over 100,000 members in them now. And back then, back in 2009, you could export the email addresses into an email list from the groups, just like you can your own personal contacts on LinkedIn. So it was a huge benefit. So I could export that list and then promote webinars to them. And that's what I did. I'd do like a webinar once a week, and I promoted to these groups. And I was creating local community groups like a LinkedIn business professionals for Cleveland, St. Louis, Columbus, Chicago. So I was creating these city groups, and then I was hosting these live networking events at these cities, building relationships, getting more people on my email list, and hustling. So I was building the groups for LinkedIn, doing webinars, and then getting more people to opt in for these free webinars. And then I was finding affiliates to promote webinars for me. And that's all the way I built my list, from affiliates and LinkedIn.
And just, again, I want to make sure we cover, you know, because for you this is all second nature, but for a lot of people, you know, they're still just trying to figure all this stuff out. You know, I mean, look, me included, right? I mean, it's always a learning game. So are you saying that you can no longer export the email addresses from the LinkedIn groups?
From the groups, they stopped that years ago. And what they did is you can message the group once a week. So it's like every 7 days. Literally, once you message it, it's 7 days later, then you can message them again. Wow. From LinkedIn. But it'll go to their personal email, but it's like a templated email from LinkedIn. But you can still put links in there. It's like a new free newsletter. But essentially, yeah, you don't have to pay for email marketing then. So if you have 150,000 person group, you can send that out once a week and pay zero money for it.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just say hypothetically that people are part of a group, they have an email list from that group, but they haven't gotten permission yet to put them like on a personal email list. Do you have a strategy to convert those people from sort of this broad list to basically say, yes, it's okay to send me email now personally? Any strategies around that?
Are you talking about your LinkedIn connections or LinkedIn group?
Yeah, anybody who is in, anyone that you have access to either through social media or maybe you're in a networking group together but you have access to their name and email, but they haven't specifically said, I am opting in, please email me your shit. You know what I mean? So I think, it's like any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm sure you do this as well, but I think the best way is to send them an email saying, hey, if you're interested in this topic, here's a free guide. Just opt in for it. If not, no worries. Just unsubscribe, and I won't send an email anymore. So something like that, where you're giving them something for free for a specific topic to add value to them. And if they're not interested, they'll stop getting emails from you from there.
Yeah. All right.
It's kind of like a one-time thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've got some questions, obviously, I want to go through. But for you guys who are on live right now, really appreciate you being on. I know we had a good chunk of folk registered for this, which was awesome. Again, this very special, weird sort of hybrid edition here of Reinvention Radio. But we don't have Lewis for a heck of a lot of time here today. So go ahead, and if you have questions, just go ahead and pop them into the box, and I'm going to get to them as I can as we go through here. So I'll intersperse my questions with yours. So we're going to just keep it really interactive, keep it free-flowing. So if you have any questions for Lewis, just go ahead and drop them in the box. I'll do the best that I can. And Lewis, if you can keep an eye on the box as well,
sure,
just as it goes through, you know, we'll try to get to those as we can. So let me ask you a question. Obviously, there's a lot going on with Periscope. There's a lot. And I noticed you went to that, you know, in sort of the embryonic stages there, man. So you jumped on that pretty quick.
I wish I'd have gotten in sooner.
Oh, come on, man. You're like one of the first 200 or 300 broadcasters.
I feel like I see a couple people on there who have like 300,000 followers. Who I'm like, who are these people? They're literally no ones. They're zero.
Their mother,
but they got in the first week. right. But I mean, they're somebody now. But literally 2 months ago, they just got on Periscope early and did it every day, and it blew them up. And now they have this huge following with incredible engagement. And I'm like, wow. So I'm kind of like 2 or 3 months behind. but I'm still growing, and I'm seeing the cool thing about it is Periscope is blowing up for me. And, you know, I'm only getting like 12 or 1300 people on a time when I do it, but that's in like 3 minutes. I'll have 1200 people show up live.
Dude, depending that's insane.
Depending on the time of day. And I'm doing like a 10-minute, you know, informational Periscope session. But at the end, I am having a call to action for people to buy my book, and I'm getting book sales every single day through it consistently. People are sharing it, promoting it. You know, I'm having them send me their receipts so I can see it on Twitter, and I'm seeing it right after the broadcast, all these receipts coming in.
Wow.
So it's working. You know, I did another thing. Periscope, if you want to make money, if you're really trying to figure out a way to leverage an audience to bring in business, Periscope is a great way to get coaching clients. I have seen so many people give a coaching session, like essentially for free for the audience, and then say, hey guys, for the first three people that email me, I'll give you a 15-minute strategy call for free if you enjoyed this topic. They're getting people in through strategy sessions, and then obviously upselling them for ongoing coaching after that. So for people who are struggling and making money right now, and you're saying it's hard to get clients, it's such an easy way to engage in that community to offer value and get some, you know, some profits in return. I did, my brother's a jazz violinist. He's the number one jazz violinist in the world, and he was here a couple weeks ago. And we were up late night just like hanging out, and I said, let's put this on Periscope and let's like have you play and see what happens. And we only had like maybe 50 or 60 people on because it was like 12:30 at night. But I said after 20 minutes of us playing, people were like, this is insane. I go, and my brother's like, okay, I think this is the last song, I'm getting tired. And I go, if you guys want him to keep playing, I'm going to create an online tip jar. So my PayPal account, here's my email, $25, he will play any song you want for 25 bucks. And there was only like, again, 40 or 50 people on. But we made 125 bucks in the next like 10 minutes from a tip jar. And it was just like a random last minute thing like, hey, let's try this out. But imagine if you did this consistently. It's a great way to bring in business.
Yeah, awesome. And just for those that that are asking, so the name of the book that Lewis is putting out here, which appropriately titled enough, is The School of Greatness, you know,
yes.
Because, you know, let's just keep it simple. That's, we're branding right now, right, man?
Exactly, man.
Yeah, all good. How, you know, really it's a real-world guide to living bigger, loving deeper, and leaving a legacy. So this is Lewis Howe's new book, and this is hitting in November officially. Is that still correct?
October 27th, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nice, man. Awesome. And so it's available for pre-order right now. Is that correct?
You can get a pre-order right now if you go to greatnessbook.com. There's links for any site you want to get it at, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Greatnessbook.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Greatness.
And one of the cool things, I don't know if you wanted to ask me a different question, but I want to make a point about this as I'm just kind of feeling this is kind of free-flowing and we're going with
totally.
It. The book, the cover, I want to talk about branding for a second. If you want to just look at the cover, you know, you notice there's a couple things that I did here. One, I have my name big there on the top. And this is, it'll be tweaked a little bit because this is a galley copy, so it'll be a little bit spaced differently and things like that. The second thing is I have my logo on the cover. That's pretty close to my podcast logo, so I'm creating that brand recognition. And then number three, I've got a full, essentially, body photo of myself on there. And part of me was like, okay, I want to remove my ego from this. I want to remove myself from this and not have my photo on there and just have a sleek, simple, clean design. But then I asked some author friends, and I talked to my buddy Adam Braun, who's a New York Times bestselling author as well, and he said, you know, you've got to put your cover on the photo. I don't care how much you think it's like too ego-driven, and he's a very introverted guy, and he didn't want his photo on his cover, but he said, it's been a game changer for my brand, for my business, for my speaking. People see me, and they come up to me on the street because they recognize me from my book cover, and it's such a game changer. He's like, you have to have it on your cover. I don't care what you think. So I just want to give food for thought for those who are interested in doing a book. Maybe it doesn't make sense based on a specific topic you're doing for your book. It may not make sense to have your photo on there, but if you're telling your story a lot more, if you're, you know, if it's about you at all, then I highly recommend putting your face somewhere on the cover. And I actually put my face on the spine as well. So I have a little smaller picture. You won't see it on this one, Steve, but the final draft, there's a photo in the middle there with my face, you know, a smiling face right in the middle. And
it's going to be somewhere in the name? Or like
right, right around the G of greatness. You'll see like a little thumbnail. probably like the size of a quarter. And so it's tiny, but the thing is, if you're on a bookshelf and you're scanning and just looking at books, there's not many books that have a face on the side of the spine. So in some ways, I was like, maybe this looks a little cheesy, like to have my face on there. It's maybe not the classic way. It's not like the Malcolm Gladwell way of this incredible book, literature. It's not what they would do. But I was like, if one person is looking in a bookstore and looking for a book on how to get to the next level and how to improve their life in any way, and they scan the bookshelf and then they see a picture that just makes them say, oh, let me just pull this out and then look farther, and they end up buying it, reading it, and it changed their life in any way, I was like, that'll be worth having it on the spine. So,
and let's be real here, man. I mean, look, you. How old are you now, Lewis?
32.
32, right? So, I mean, in the scheme of things, there's the old guard, man. I mean, let's be real, right? I mean, you got the personal development sort of old guard, you know, kind of teachers and whatnot. And, you know, I mean, God love them. They blaze the trail for all of us. But you're a good-looking dude, man, and you're a young dude. And so that's going to hit a certain demographic. Right. And if you're scanning books, you know, on the shelf and all you're seeing is the spine, that's a really, really good strategy because, I mean, look, I love Jack. You know, Jack Canfield is great, but, you know, if you got a picture of Jack next to a picture of Lewis and you're in the, you know, in sort of the millennial demographic there, you're going to grab Lewis's book, right?
Right.
So you just got to be aware of who you are and play to your strengths. And,
exactly.
You know, and I think Adam's point was really well taken is, and, you know, but you're not a shy guy. I mean, I know you've, you know, kind of evolved over the years, but still, sure. I mean, You're all about branding, man, which is super smart.
I'm all about branding, but I'm also, you know, I want to make sure I'm not being like too over the top and I'm not being like ego driven. So I had a lot of other covers where I was like, show me covers where there's my photos not on there, because that was like a big thing for me. I didn't want it to be all about me and like putting my face everywhere, but it just makes sense because people connect with faces more than they connect with, you know, just text. It's more captivating. It's more interesting to pull people in. So I had to look at it that point of view and just kind of be like, okay, well, hopefully the photo comes across as authentic as opposed to this sleazy photo or something. And that's why we chose the photo we did, to make it as real and authentic as possible.
Yeah, and if you guys see me leaning towards the computer and typing, this is live. And yes, this is live right now. This is not a recording. Although if it's a recording, then it's not live. So you have to decipher, but I will tell you that as of this moment, it is live. So if you're typing in the box, we can definitely answer your questions.
Yes.
And so greatnessbook.com is the URL. Kevin, glad you got the speakers working. Awesome on that. And there are no slides. There are no handouts. I mean, we're just spitballing here, shooting the shit. So if you've got, you know, questions and anything that you want to ask, this is a really rare opportunity. If you don't know Lewis Howes, the School of Greatness is his podcast. 850,000 odd downloads still per month. Is it still around those numbers?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, awesome. And this will start, Lewis, I'm not sure if you're going to use this or not, but this will definitely be available on Reinvention Radio, which is my podcast.
And I'll share it out everywhere for sure.
Sweet, man. Appreciate that. And yeah, we and following a lot of what you did, man, you know, we blew it out of the water, man. So really appreciate the, you know, the advice, and really appreciate just the, you know, the willingness to share as much as you do, because it helped propel us to number one in two of our three categories and number two in a third with that fucker MF CEO guy. I don't know who this guy is, but he blew up everywhere. But anyway, followed a lot of those strategies, which was awesome.
Okay,
so
how long has your radio show been out?
Well, it started as a terrestrial radio show back in 2009, 2010. I shelved it and then relaunched it as a live radio show that we then repurpose into the podcast. So we just started about 2 months ago, beginning of July.
For people listening live or watching, how beneficial has the radio show / podcast been for you over the years? What's it done for your business and brand?
Yeah, you know what, man? It's like, let me back up for a second to answer that question, which is, in the same way that sports are kind of second nature for you, and if you could, you know, get paid, and you did get paid, and you still get paid to do sports for a living, that's not work. You know what I mean? It's just something you absolutely love. It's in your blood. It's in your DNA. For me, radio has always kind of been the holy grail, right? I mean, it's just like, if my goal is to get Reinvention Radio syndicated, to get it going coast to coast to wherever, someone once referred to me recently as the Howard Stern of personal development, which I thought was kind of interesting. But,
That's great.
You know, I mean, that to me is the holy grail, right? So it's definitely a consistent part of the brand. And if you listen to the show, you know, if we're hanging out and we're just chit-chatting, you know, and we're at a bar, whatever, you know, just whatever, man, what you get with me in person is what you're going to get with me on the show.
Yeah, you're very real, and, very real to who you are, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that to me is, and obviously you're following, you know, I'm pointing at your book, and you can't see the book if I don't hold it up. But, I mean, that's one of the most important takeaways that I hope you guys get out of this, you know, is don't be something you're not, whether it's in print for books or whether it's, you know, you want to do something online, whether you want to do something when you go speak, you know, whatever it might be. So, so the answer to the question is, yeah, I mean, it's definitely helped open doors. Now, I do it for the love of doing radio. It's definitely opened up some doors, though, as well. So
yeah, that's great. Very cool.
You know, for you, it's a little bit different, I think, because you had a big business, you sold it, then you got back into this game, and now it's taken your business to a whole other level.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, I mean, I had no clue when I started the podcast. You know, I did it as like a fun hobby to connect. I really did it because Pat Flynn and Derek Halpern were like, you know, podcast is driving a lot of traffic for me to my website, and it's giving me a lot of leads right now. And I was like, okay, I'm going to restart a business. So let me start something where I can get a lot of traffic and leads. That was like the original thought. And then people were just like, this is changing my life. I just lost 70 pounds in the last 3 months after listening to this one episode. You know, I just ended a relationship that's been toxic. I've been doing this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So people were just writing these long stories. I was like, man, there's something here. Let me put actually a little more time and energy into this as opposed to just a once a week side thing. Let me make this more of like a full-time thing that our team invests in to increase the quality, create courses and products around, and really develop a brand around this topic. And then my, you know, this book agent, Tim Ferriss's book agent, reached out to me and said, I see what you're doing. I think it's time we do a book together. Ooh. You know, he approached me, and I was like, okay, cool, let's do it. And then we put together this proposal, and publishers were just like going crazy for it. You know, every interview I did with these publishers, they were all like, we want this book, we want it. And eventually, you know, it brought me a multiple six-figure.
And you've been pretty open about that, because I know you've shared that. And so for those who want to aspire to get to that level, right, those who aspire to make a living sharing their mission, their message, you know, with the masses, throw that number out again, man, because I know you've shared that publicly. Do you mind sharing it?
The advance number?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like multiple six figures because, I still haven't announced it. Yeah. Let's say between 300 and a million.
Yeah, I got you. So, I mean, we're talking real money here. And, you know, the God's honest truth is when you look at the book, which is really, you know, it's quite good, but when you come right down to it, it's a repurposing to some extent of existing content.
Of course. I mean, right? everything is, in a sense. You know, everything's repurposing of existing contents. Every book is a repurpose of existing contents, just paraphrased or packaged in a different way or told in a different story. So the book, you know, there's eight different principles of greatness that I bullied down to from all the guests I've interviewed. And essentially, there's nothing new in the book that hasn't already been said or that you haven't already heard. You know, there's really no book that you haven't heard already, all the information that's in there, or you don't have access to. What we did is we package it and tell it in an inspiring way, and then I created exercises at the end that I haven't given on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So at the end of each chapter, there's exercises that I've used my entire life to get to where I'm at, from the sports world to relationships to business to everything else in between to my health. And these exercises, I feel like, are really kind of what's missing from The Secret. You know, The Secret's a powerful, huge phenomenon, but it's all inspiration and theory and zero action, right? It's zero, like, examples of how to take action. This is that plus here is the proven steps that I've taken, that other people have taken to get results. Use these steps as tools to get to the next level. So that's why I think it's going to be powerful.
Yeah, and it speaks to the power of content creation, right?
Yes.
I mean, because ultimately, One of my private clients had something, he said something that I'll never forget, and I use this, you know, with other clients, and you'll probably appreciate this as well, but what he said, his name is Dr. James Foster, and what James said is, you know, first you get it out, then you get it right, then you get it right all the time, and then you teach it to others. So get it out, get it right all the time, and then teach it to others.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I agree with that.
To the power of content, man, you know, because ultimately you get it out, eventually you'll get it right, then you'll get it right all the time, and then you can teach it to others, which is exactly what you're doing
right.
if you follow your career here, man. I mean, and it's just, and it speaks to the power of saying, hey, I've got something to share. It may not be the most polished, you know, presentation in the whole wide world. I mean,
I haven't been polished, that's for sure. For years, man, I was, you know, early on in my first business with creating online courses and doing the webinars were never polished, and they were still working. And the courses were never the way I wanted them to look and be 100%, but they were effective and they got people results. And, you know, the podcast, when I launched it, I remember doing, you know, for those watching live, I did, you know, a couple episodes on my iPhone with like big names because I didn't have like the fancy equipment yet. And I was just like, hey, can we do something really quick? I remember with Bob Harper, who is on The Biggest Loser, we worked out at the same gym together doing CrossFit, and I'd done a bunch of sessions with him. Became friends with him from the gym, and I was just like, hey, man, do you have 20 minutes where I can sit down with you and record? Because he's got a huge audience, you know? He's multiple New York Times bestselling author. And so I literally was in the office right next to the gym. People were coming in and out of the door. Like, you could hear the weights slamming from the next room, and there's interruptions, but the content was good. And I put it up there. I edited it the best I could, but you can still hear everything, and it's one of the first episodes.
Yeah.
And I continue to get it, you know, continue to get it right and then try to make it right all the time is all I've been trying to do and improve it. But most people don't ever launch it because it's never right when they launch it. And so they wait for 6 to 12 months, and then they never do anything.
Yeah, and when you come right down to it, I mean, you've made a shit ton of money just through GoToWebinar, right? That's which is this tool that's been around for years. It hasn't gotten fancier. It hasn't gotten any better. It's the same thing, but it works.
Same thing. I mean, the only thing they've added is this split-screen video, which is actually pretty nice. A few years ago, they didn't have the streaming quality with it yet, but now it's actually pretty good. And, you know, there's a new webinar platform every week that comes out with different plugins and features and this and that. And I know a lot of guys, friends of mine, who have these webinar softwares that swear by them, but for me, this has been so consistently effective. There's no crazy bells and whistles, but it works, and so I stick with what works.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about what works.
After the break, sure. Huh? Have some fun. All right, right back with Reinvention Radio and right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
Yeah, man. We definitely have some questions coming in. I know we talked about Periscope. Bree, who obviously thinks you're a very sexy man, is asking what the bang for the buck is right now through social media. And then, there's another question about LinkedIn in terms of, you know, how you might use LinkedIn now to build your list. Let's talk about that, because we talked about Periscope, but let's talk about what the other social media platforms are that you swear by right now in terms of ROI.
I mean, ROI, hands down, 100%, this is what's working for me, is Facebook ads to automated webinars. Not only is it working in a financial sense, but it's working in a freedom sense. So I did probably close to, I can't even remember how many webinars I've done live over the last 7 years now, but close to 1,000, it has to be, over the last 7 years. And it's fun and it's exciting, but it's also, you've got to show up, and it can be exhausting if you're doing a lot of them. They're very profitable, but if you do two or three a week, it's hard to get anything else done because you've got to prepare, you've got to be on, you're speaking for an hour and a half, you lose your voice, you know, you've got to recharge. It's time and energy. And with Facebook ads right now, it may not work in the future. It's been working all year for me from running Facebook ads. We're running about $750 to $1,000 a day spending on Facebook ads. And I'm not sure how many leads we're generating each day, but we're seeing about a 3 to 4X return daily. Some days it breaks even. Some days, you know, we'll lose a little bit of money. But on average, it's about a 3 to 4X return on that investment every single day. And it's almost every single day we see the numbers. They fluctuate a little bit. So running Facebook ads. Now, it's challenging. And I'll tell you exactly what we do. We do Facebook ads to Stealth Seminar, where you can have an automated webinar. We run 4 webinars a day through stealthseminar.com and also allow people to watch on demand right then. So if they just got to the sign-up page, they can sign up for 4 times today or tomorrow, or they can say, you want to watch this right now? Click to watch live right now. That's the option we give them. Then at the end, we do about a 90-minute free presentation. At the end, we offer one of our $1,000 programs. And that's all we do. That's literally it. We do it. Keep it simple. We don't even have an upsell or downsell. Like if we did, we'd probably make even more money, right? There's so many things I'm not doing that I should be doing, but it still works. And that's the biggest bang for the buck. Everything else is great for branding and you know, being in front of people. You know, Periscope is great for building my audience and creating connection and people buying some books. But even then, it's not converting sales ROI-wise like Facebook ads to automated webinars. It's not even close.
Can you give us just kind of a general understanding of how much money you're throwing into Facebook ads? What does it take?
I mean, about 30 grand a month right now.
Are you really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, close to like 750 to 1,000 bucks a day, depending on, you know, what we're running in campaigns. But, yeah, and then I'm spending 7,500 bucks a month for, you know, a Facebook ad team that's running all the ads, who you know, Gary, who spoke at your event. And so that's not cheap. So,
Did you meet Gary at the event and then you hired him?
We talked a few weeks prior. Mastin Kipp introduced us, but then he was like, oh, I'll be at Steve's event. Let's connect there. So
good. I just want to know when I go to talk to Gary next how much I should ask for. That's
Tell him to write you a check, commission check. Because the connection, actually the follow-through was then. When I met him then, I was like, okay, let's do this because I was unsure until then. So
you
should tell him that.
I will, absolutely.
I'll just send you a gift or some like steaks or something from Omaha.
I know, Gary. It won't be much. I'll get like one bone. All right, so let's talk about how to get featured on bigger sites, on bigger blogs and bigger platforms than your own. Because obviously, you know, I mean, all of us want to. I mean, like, you know, I've been pressing you to get on, you know, the fucking School of Greatness, man. It's like, what does a brother got to do to get on, you know? So it's obviously, that's at another level, man. And, you know, that's a level I want to play at.
Sure.
There are people who want to play on my level, et cetera. So, I mean, there's always somebody in front of you. There's always somebody behind you.
Right.
Let's say you want to play that game where you're jumping the ladder a little bit.
Yeah.
Give me some insight on, you know, how do you get featured on some of those bigger sites, you know, those blogs and those platforms?
You know, it all comes down to relationships is what I'm going to say. It's probably not the sexy answer you want to hear, but it comes down to relationships. And I've been hustling for years, building, adding value to key journalists and writers for these main sites. I go to these conferences and I meet them. I take them out to dinner. I add value to them. I research about people a lot. I find out so much about them to find mutual ways to connect. And I think this was one of my assets or my skill sets is researching people, figuring out who they know and how I know their friends and finding those common threads. So that when I'm connecting with them in person for the first time, it's like we've been friends forever. And
that's a good way to leverage LinkedIn, isn't it? Because it'll show you who's connected to who.
Show you who's connected to who. It shows you where they went to school, their hobbies, their interests. So there's always ways to connect and learn about it. And, you know, now I write for Yahoo.com on a weekly basis. They distribute my podcast, and sometimes it gets featured on the homepage, so it gets a ton of traffic there. I write weekly for Entrepreneur.com. My podcast gets featured there. AskMen.com, EliteDaily.com. about to be mindbodygreen.com. We're picking up more sites constantly. But it's just like I started with one site, entrepreneur.com, where I built the relationship. For a year, I would send a tweet and a Facebook message with an image of the publisher's note to Amy Cosper, who's the publisher over at or the editor-in-chief over at Entrepreneur Magazine. For a year, I would tweet her and send her a message on Facebook telling her what I thought about the letter that she wrote to readers for that month. And I'd send her an image of me holding the magazine, looking at her column. And every month, she would get a message from me for a year. So eventually, she was like, thank you so much. You know, and I asked her, you know, I'd love to learn about writing for the website because I see you have contributing writers. And some of them I know. Is there a way I can talk about these three topics? And she said, let me connect you with someone over at the team there and take it away. And that's been a two and a half year relationship where I've written every week for 2.5 years. And, you know, now I'm friends with the CEO of the company, and he wants me to do more stuff. I've done webinars for the whole entrepreneur.com. So it's literally just like doing the work, building the relationships, adding value to those key people that can support you, and not asking up front right away, but adding value first. And it may take a year until those things happen, but I'm in it for the long haul, not the sprint. And then you can leverage it from there. You know, my friend who worked at, who's the editor-in-chief of Women's Health Magazine, she got the new job as the editor-in-chief of YahooHealth.com. And I was like, listen, I know you're going to be looking for great content. I've got this podcast. Let me distribute it on Yahoo. And she said, absolutely. So I was the first contributing podcaster on Yahoo.
Interesting. So let me, for those who are maybe a little bit unclear on exactly what, because I know there's a lot of people who have the concern about, like, am I bothering them? Am I intruding? Am I being a stalker? So for those who have sort of that question about being a borderline stalker versus being a borderline, like, admirer, how do you walk that tightrope? What do people do to piss you off, man? Because I know, like, people come to you all the time. How do people get your attention? How do people get Lewis Howe's attention where you're like, damn, this is somebody I might want to work with versus this is a fucking stalker, man. I need to just, like, ban this guy from being on my, on my feed.
I mean, it's figuring out what they want and they need right now. So looking at where they're at in their business, looking at the thing that they're promoting the most. I mean, you did a great job. It's why we're doing this right now. It's because you're like, hey, I love your stuff. I want you to come speak. And I'm going to buy some books for you when you come speak. Because I was like, this is the thing I want the most right now. This is all I care about. So if we can figure out a way to make that work, like, I'll do it. Whatever you need, I will do it.
So it's the Dr. Phil currency thing then, basically. What's the currency of the moment to the person?
Exactly. I mean, that's how I got Tony Robbins on my podcast. In 20 years, or what is it, 10 years, he hasn't written a book or something. And he decides to write a book. And no way would I ever get an interview with him before then, or in the last decade. But since he's doing a book, I was like, I got in touch with the person who's doing his book marketing. I said, listen, I'm going to promote the crap out of this. All I need is an hour. Can we make it happen? And it took a month of figuring out the schedule and this and that and changing flights to go there and do it. But I made it happen because it was timing. So a lot of it's timing. Like Tim Ferriss, right now you're probably not going to get an interview with him, even if you have a huge blog, because he doesn't want to promote anything right now. He's like in chill mode. He's, sitting on his Uber stock, all that stuff. And, but 4 months ago when he had his TV show coming out online, he was promoting it and he would have done anything. So a lot of it's timing, a lot of it's, making sure you're being patient and staying on track. You know, for me, it's like a dance. You know, once a month I'd send a little note, but it wasn't every day. So the people that work with me, like another guy who's got a clothing line, a really cool clothing line, who's like, I want to sponsor your show. And I want to buy books because I know that's the main thing that's important to you. He's like sending me all this gear. He's like, I want to sponsor your book tour to outfit you with free gear and sponsor your show and buy books. Can we connect? And I was like, yeah, let's have we'll do like a 30-minute talk so I can learn more. And that's the way to like my heart right now, and to anyone's heart, you got to figure out what they want and speak to that.
Yeah, no, really, really great advice. And for those who may have missed it earlier, keeping this very interactive. This is kind of continuous Q&A. So if you've got something you want to ask of Lewis, I'm not sure how much time he's going to give us here. He's a very busy dude, and we're coming up on in about 45 minutes. I don't want to draw your attention to the clock, my man, but, you know, that's about where we are here. So, you know, if you have questions.
We got about 25 minutes, yeah.
There we go. All right, so one of the questions that came in is, speaking of webinars, what do you find the ideal length to be? I know you mentioned 90 minutes. Is that about the where you want you suggest people put it?
I like 90 minutes with a live webinar. I think about 75 for an automated webinar has been a sweet spot for me and my audience and my topics right now. But I've seen people do 2.5-hour webinars that do extremely well also, because those that are really interested will stay on to get all the content at the end and stick around. So it's almost like the harder you make it for people, you know that the people around at the end are that much more interested, as opposed to like, let's do a 30 to 45 minute thing because I want to make sure I'm, you know, not being too long for people. They may not want to buy anyways. They're looking just for the quick info and they're going to leave. So you got to kind of test it, but I kind of like the 90 minute sweet spot for live and 75 for automated.
Yeah, nice. And so you talked about creating content, like a lot of content. Are you, I mean, look, man, with entrepreneur, you know, and Yahoo, and I'm like, all these different places where you're distributing your content, a lot of that's obviously written word stuff. I mean, you've got your podcast, which is like, and by the way, one of the things that I do want to make sure folks hear, and, you know, Lewis mentioned, you know, early on he just used his iPhone to do some stuff. Aisha Tyler, she does everything on an iPad mini, like everything on an iPad mini. And 50 million downloads later. You know what I mean? So it's like she just sits there, puts her iPad mini down. She does all the editing.
Who is this?
Aisha Tyler, Girl on Guy.
Oh, is this a podcast?
It is, yeah. You'd know Aisha if you saw her. She's like on The View. She's on, I mean, she does also. She's been on MTV forever, and you'd know her if you saw her. But Girl on Guy,
I'm going to look this up.
15 million downloads later, all with a mini iPad. So, you know, technology is not the barrier to entry here. Mentality is, right? So what you got to exactly. Yep, Girl on Guy. You got it.
Interesting.
So one of the questions that I have, though, is we're doing an interview. It's, you know, push record, edit, go. To write an article, that can take a lot of time. And then, like, do you do unique articles for all of those different publications? How are you handling that?
So, you know, I've got a great team, and Christine, who's recording right now, and I've got Asia on my team, and my sister Heidi is a writer for me as well. So what we do is we take the podcast feed, and then we kind of do an intro and an outro and put the feed in the middle. It's kind of like telling a story of what you're going to learn, and it's like a shorter article, but it's essentially what we're already using on my main site, tweaking it up a little bit, and then distributing it out. Some of the times we're writing original articles, but I get paid for those. So my team and I will flesh out ideas with headlines and bullet points, and then they'll flesh them out. But the ones with the podcast, I've kind of worked to deal with these sites where, like, I'm like, hey, don't pay me. Just let me post the podcast up here to get more traffic. Yeah, so, but the any original articles that we do, and we only do like one or two a week on total, those we get paid for, so I just pay my writers for their time to help me write those.
Gotcha. Do you mind sharing sort of ballpark for the aspiring writers out there, like ballpark what someone might get paid to do something like that?
It depends on the site, because usually they get so many people to do it for free that they're not paying right now. But between $250 and $350 an article for about 500 to 700 word article is what I'm getting.
Awesome.
But for me, it's like it pays for my writer's time. You know, it gives me a little bit of cash to like make it make sense. Then it's driving traffic. I'm more want the traffic and the leads, so that's all I care about.
So you talk a lot about the content creation hubs, right? And are there some that will make more sense for someone's ideal audience than another?
Absolutely. I mean, we were doing Elite Daily for a while, but we're seeing the traffic. It's not really coming in as much, so it's just like it doesn't make sense for the time, the energy. You know, Entrepreneur.com has been pretty consistent, driving a few thousand hits every month consistently, but it's like really qualified leads that come through. And then others drive more traffic for the podcast. So I think you just got to test it out and make sure it's like the right fit. Go right for the sites that you read, you know, that you're like, this is the stuff that I want to know about. Go right for those sites and then see if, try it for a month or two, and if it's not driving the traffic you want, it doesn't make sense, and can it.
And how do you take people from either the written word or the podcast offline? In other words, how do you convert a listener into a subscriber or a follower? What are some of your strategies around that?
From the podcast to signing up for like the newsletter or something, or
So if somebody downloads your podcast, you have no idea who they are, right?
Exactly,
I mean,
yeah.
Someone's listening to an episode. There's no relationship there other than obviously they're, you know, you're in their ear,
right.
Which is a very intimate relationship. But if you ever wanted to say, hey, this is something that I can help you with, email, etc., you don't have that option. So how are you getting people from sort of that written voice audio world into the Lewis Howes world of, you know, seeing my emails?
I'm constantly sending them to different offers. So with the book coming out, I'm telling people go to greatnessbook.com and opt in there if you want to be notified of behind-the-scenes stuff around the book marketing, the book launch. I'll send people to the show notes. So at the end of every episode, I'll say go to lewishowes.com/the number of the show. And from there, I have opt-ins on my website where people can opt in to learn more. We'll do sometimes where I'll have people text. I'll say text the word greatness to a specific number to get these notes, this specific insight, this exercise from today's episode. And so I'm testing it all, and they all work well. You just got to figure out what works best for you.
And what does your funnel look like? So somebody opts in for a free, like what's a typical hook for you? Like what's the ethical bribe, if you will? And then what's the ascension model?
You know, again, I'm not doing everything that I should be doing. So it's more just to sign up for my newsletter to get like free updates, essentially. It's not like a specific sign up for this five ways to generate whatever. But there are some opt-ins on my site where it's sign up to learn more about top 10 ways to get to make money online. We have different opt-ins for a free webinar, things like that. So we're trying to send people to different things to see what converts best. But mostly it's just sign up for my newsletter. And then they get an email once or twice a week with an update from the podcast and more behind-the-scenes stuff.
And so your primary source of revenue is the webinar?
It's my courses. My courses, yeah, webinar course. I've got another course called Profitable Online Courses. Then I've got the School of Greatness Academy, which is a six-month program, which we're revamping now. So those three courses right now are the main revenue generators for my business. And then the podcast sponsorships brings in a nice chunk of change. Then, you know, I do some consulting every now and then, and I charge $10,000 an hour for entrepreneurs that are really trying to take the six figures to the seven-figure level. Speaking fees, you know, $25,000 a speech. I'm an investor in companies. I'm an advisor to companies that pay me on retainer just to, like, make intros for people and to help them with advice. So, you know, I do affiliate marketing. I'm constantly leveraging whatever I have to generate money with it.
Yeah, nice, man. And when you look at your life now, is it kind of like a pinch me sort of thing, man, where you're just like, I can't believe I'm getting paid as much as I am to do this, and you get the lifestyle, and you know what I mean? Is this a kind of a pinch me life at this point?
It kind of is, man. I constantly am reminded I'm just a young kid from small town Ohio that literally just had a big dream my whole life to be an athlete and be somebody and make an impact in the world. I had no clue how I was going to do it. I had zero confidence in myself up until about high school. And even then I struggled with a lot of insecurities. And, every year I just learned so many valuable lessons and made a lot of mistakes. I just feel like so blessed for everything that's happened for me. In my life, even the bad stuff, it all happened for me, not to me. And, my biggest challenges have turned into some of the greatest blessings. And I just tried to make the most of everything and be a good human being, serve others in the best way possible, and continue to grow.
Yeah, man. And just, if there's any other questions, ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to drop them in. I've only got one more question on my list, and then we'll let Lewis go if nothing else drops in here. But the final question I have for you, man, is who have been your biggest sources of influence over the years? Like, if there's two or three people that you're really just like, man, you know, I have been so inspired and influenced by this person outside of your family, because I know you've got a close relationship with your family, but outside of that core group, And have you been able to develop a relationship with those people that, you know, you've really just been just so inspired by?
Yeah, I mean, early on, you know, 7.5 years ago, when I was just getting started after playing football, it was Tim Ferriss for sure was a big inspiration because I read his book. It's kind of what opened my mind to all this world that was even I didn't even know was possible. So he was a big inspiration, and for, you know, 3 years I was stalking him and emailing him all the time, probably too much. But eventually met him in person and had kind of built a decent name for myself at that time where he, you know, was willing to like hang out with me and talk to me and like shoot the shit with me a little bit. And so now we're pretty good friends, and I've added enough value and I think proven that I'm, you know, have given him a lot of value since then. So he was someone early on. I think Gary Vaynerchuk was also someone I was inspired by just because of his attitude and energy and his passion for business and entrepreneurship. So his level of content creation is an inspiration, how that guy creates content and redistributes and packages things. It's just really next level, I think.
Yeah.
And then Tony Robbins, as a kid growing up, hearing his stuff and being around that content was just – took me out of my, you know, any negative state that I was ever in. It was like, okay, here's some answers on how to get to the next level. So yeah, those are some people that were pretty influential for me.
Yeah, sweet. And interestingly enough, you now have relationships with all three of them. So
exactly.
Cool,
yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
All right, a couple quick questions. Do you believe college or the real world is the best route for a young adult? Which path would you suggest at this moment?
You know, a lot of people are dissing college. You know, I see Gary Vaynerchuk talking about dissing college and things like that, but those 4 years for me, it was actually 7 years, to be honest, because it took me a while to graduate.
It took me 16, man. You know,
exactly.
They couldn't drag me out of there. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I got to leave? No.
Exactly. Those 4 years for me, you know, I developed so many skills. Even though I had zero skills that have translated into the business sense, like from class into business, zero skills from that. There was only one class I remember that added any value to me that I remember. Two classes. There was a leadership class I took that I really liked, and then a sports marketing class that we like essentially got to pick a brand and package it and promote it and do like a whole marketing plan for it. And I used myself as the product to go to the NFL and how I was like pitching myself to NFL scouts and things like that. So it was cool for me to like learn about branding and marketing then, but other than that, every class was pretty much pointless for me because I just couldn't focus. However, the people skills and the communication skills that I learned in college from interacting with peers and professors and being on sports teams, those lessons and experiences are priceless for me. And sure, they were expensive lessons to have because school is pretty expensive, but that was worth it for me, those 4 years of being able to play sports, play at a high level, you know, compete in the playoffs and be on a top 10 team in the college and be an All-American in two sports. If I didn't go to college, I wouldn't have those experiences, and that's made me part of who I am today. So
yeah,
I don't think the education necessarily is worth it, the money, but I think the experiences are if you make the most of your time there.
Yeah, yeah, great point. I have often been quoted as college is the single worst investment that a parent can make.
Yes.
You know, but you know, if you're in it, you want it. I mean, if you know what you want to do, my answer to your question, man, is if you know what
then
you
don't.
Want to do, you know, like you know you want to be an architect, you know you want to be
yes.
an engineer, you know you want to be a doctor, you got to get that education.
You've
Otherwise,
go,
if you have no clue,
school, yes.
yeah, I mean, if you have no clue, it's not the place to try to figure it out. Go out in the real world, go
exactly.
work, go volunteer, go be an apprentice. You know, get out of that little small restricted circle that we all seem to be in when we grow up. Go out in the world, see what's what. And then when you're ready,
yeah.
go pursue the education that you want. Oh, and by the way, fucking pay for it yourself because then you'll actually
exactly.
do something with it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because my friend Shalene Johnson, who's a big podcaster as well, I was at her
name
place.
Dropping, man.
I apologize. she's a great person, and I was at her place a few months back doing a broadcast for something, and she had one of her team members there who was like 19, who went to school for like 1 year as a freshman and then did an internship for the summer with Shalene and her team, and then realized like this is what I want to do. Like I'm learning more now in this summer internship than I am in school the whole first year. I'm just going to quit school and come work full-time for you. You know, at 19 or 20, she's got way more experience than any other 19 or 20-year-old. And then by the time she's 22 and she's supposed to graduate, she'll probably be like head of marketing for Chalene Johnson or something. And
right.
where the rest of her peers are $200,000 in debt, have zero experience.
Yeah.
It's going to take 2 or 3 years to get off their feet now because they're still going to live at home. Now this girl's got her, you know, her shit together, and she's
yeah.
knows how to make money and build a business and do things on her own in the real world before her college mates have left their fraternities, you know?
Right, right, exactly. Question about podcasts, man. What topic trends do you see coming up for podcasts? And let me just add a little something else to that, which is what is your vision of the future for podcasts in general? So any topic trends that you can see out there? In other words, and I think the question is, like, is there something that people should consider maybe starting a podcast on? And maybe I'm reading into that, but obviously, Michelle, you can answer that question for me if I'm not getting it correctly. And then what do you see as the future of podcasting?
I think, you know, what's worked in the last year or two is the high-level produced storytelling like Serial. I don't know if anyone's listened to Serial. I haven't actually listened to an episode yet, but I just know how much people rave about it. And then, you know, Chalene Johnson has done like a Serial-style episodes where it's like, it's almost like a mystery where there's all these different voices and people and conversations. I think those do really well, but that just takes a lot to produce. So what I would say is high production value is what's going to separate most of the time. Unless you're a big influencer or a celebrity, you can get away with it. Like this Aisha yeah. person, it's probably like not the highest quality, but she
it's
got
not.
She has huge celebrities on, so that's all that matters, and she's a host of shows or whatever. But differentiating yourself with high production value and also video, I think, is going to be powerful podcast video. So what I'm trying to do is just more recording, having high produced video quality, recording it live, video and audio, so I can have two different mediums. Now, I post the videos on YouTube and then Facebook to tease it, to get people to go back and click on the links to the iTunes. And some of the videos that I have on YouTube only have like a couple thousand views. So I'm like, is it really worth it? But then there's some that have like 150,000 views or 100,000 views. Like the one with Jack Canfield, I think, has like close to 100,000 views. Tony Robbins has somewhere around there. I did one with Eric Thomas that has 150,000 views. And people are discovering me from those videos as well. And it creates such a deeper association of prestige when you're in a video with an influencer like a Tony Robbins, as opposed to just an audio. The visual that we have, the connection psychologically to seeing that, automatically puts you a little bit closer to that person's level, whether you're, you know, on their level or not. It's just like the association, it's just a little bump.
Yeah.
And the more they see you with another influencer or celebrity or change maker of that level, it's like it constantly putting up a little bump closer and closer to that higher level, so that people will trust you more, they'll like you more, and eventually sign up for your programs, your courses, your coaching, whatever it is you're offering, because that level of trust is so high.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And just kind of addressing the production quality question, that is one of the reasons why I do the podcast actually as a radio show in an actual radio production studio, full-fledged radio studio. And, you know, I mean, honestly, the production quality is so incredibly stellar. We can take calls. And then the question was, you know, well, how do you take it and then make it into a podcast?
Right.
You just literally take the MP3 file and you throw it in Audacity, or you throw it
exactly.
in one of your favorite, you know, audio editor, you know, pieces of software. And then you upload it to your favorite host, like a Blueberry
yeah.
or, you know, whoever else you
SoundCloud,
use.
Yeah.
SoundCloud, etc. Now,
things,
you're going to show us a piece of equipment here.
Yeah, one of the things I would say, you know, this is a camera I'm holding for people that are not watching. This is just, you know, 6D Canon. And I use this for primarily video because, so I'll have three camera video shoot, and I use this. My camera guy comes with two cameras, and he uses this one as a third. And I use this primarily for video. The 6D, the Canon 6D is great for video, but also takes great photos if you have a couple different lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing a Periscope session the other day about the number one differentiator of people who are in an industry and portraying themselves online. There's one thing that separates them from the rest of their competitors. In my mind, yes, you've got to be authentic. You've got to have great content. You've got to have all these different things, which if you're at a certain level, you've got to have all these things. But two people at the highest level with content and value and authenticity and consistency and all those things, the person who has the better design and better photos and better videos wins, in my mind. Because it's just a higher perceived value when they have great photos that are updated, that aren't 2 years old, that are constantly fresh and new. It makes you relevant. It makes you top of mind. It makes you feel like, oh, this person's like a celebrity because they have new photos constantly. And so I'm always investing in good photos, posting them on Facebook and Instagram and sharing them because I think it makes a difference when you have quality lifestyle professional photos.
Yeah, for sure. And I think to that end, when you look at somebody like a Marie Forleo, I mean, one of the reasons why she's been able to absolutely crush it is because of the quality of the productions. I mean, you know, she's not saying, I mean, look, I love her. She's great, but she's not saying anything that is tremendously different than anyone else.
No.
But she's investing in the production quality. You can see it on the site. You can see it in the videos. You can see it across her brand. And it, as you said, that's the winning combination.
That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah,
and it's, she's authentic and real with the information she shares, but it's nothing brand new.
Yeah.
Just like my podcast is really nothing brand new either. It's just someone telling a story in a different way and a different angle.
Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, man, of the people that I know that are crushing it right now, you are absolutely one of the most deserving by far, man, because I know how hard you've worked to get here. And I know this hasn't, you know, been easy for you. I mean, what a lot of people don't know is, you know, you have, you know, your own sort of learning disabilities, if you will, that's made things complicated for you over the years. So for you to be able to do what you've done really just speaks to the power of perseverance, speaks to the power of having a vision, but also speaks to the person that you are. And, you know, honestly, man, from my perspective, it's just been really an honor and a privilege to have you here on Reinvention Radio in this special edition to be able to get to know you now over the past, you know, little while. And I'm happy to support you. And I know my community is happy to support you as well. So
I appreciate
it.
I appreciate you. Thanks for acknowledging that and for sharing. And, you know, for those watching or listening, make sure to check out, if you're doing the event next year, make sure to, you know, sign up for the event that Steve does, because I spoke there and it was awesome, a lot of influencers and great information. So make sure to sign up wherever they can to pre-order the early bird advance notice, because it'll be worth it.
I appreciate that. Internet Profits Live, the idea there in terms of doing the, just, I gotta tell you, man, it's a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot of work, man. I'm planning a big event next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's exciting to like plan, but I'm also like, what's the real purpose of this? Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to, you know, is it going to be profitable, or is it just going to be a year of work and then it's over? You know, so I'm trying to really make sure that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I want to bring the community together in a big way. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. Well, when you talk about adding value to others, I will put that out there right here, right now, which is, if I can help you in any way with that, any way, shape, or form, obviously, you know, keep me in mind. I'm happy to help.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you guys, check out The School of Greatness, the podcast. Go out and get the book, The School of Greatness. Go to greatnessbook.com, lewishowes.com, H-O-W-E-S-L-E-W-I-S-H-O-W-E-S, lewishowes.com. And if you're not following this man's work, then you're sleeping, and you need to be checking out what he's doing. So thanks so much, really, man, for being on Reinvention Radio today. And we'll
talk
really soon. There's greatnessbook.com right there on your screen right now.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.